You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Dear Multi-Hyphenate. It's your host, Michael Kushner. I should maybe come up with like Multi-Hyphenate Michael Kushner or something like that, but my Twitter is at Mikey-Hyphenate, which is enough for me. That kind of makes me vomit, but I can never land on a good Twitter handle because my first and last name is too long. No, my first and last name is taken, I think. And then if I do my Instagram handle, which is the Michael Kushner, it's too long. And then I do more than photography, so I can't do Michael Kushner photography. That's too long, or I'm Kushner. It's just a whole bunch. So I landed on Mikey-Hyphenate, which I think might just have to, you know, stay. And I'm not really even on Twitter anymore. I'm more of an Instagram and Facebook person, although I did just join TikTok, which is making me LOL. So if you do TikTok, I'm at the Michael Kushner on TikTok, and I'm just going to be pretty stupid and crazy and just another app that I have to maintain, right? Am I right? Can I get an amen? Yeah. So, okay. I'm interviewing a lot of people during quarantine and during this COVID-19 nightmare. And we've been talking a lot about that, but I want to keep this episode primarily away from that today, just because we recorded this episode right before all this madness happened, and it's so light and funny and airy, and I just want to keep it there. I mean, I got Randy Graff as a friend, but also, that's, you know, a lot of the stuff that I talk about is manifestation and reaching out for the life that you have always visualized. And Randy has always been a part of my life. And I talk about that in this podcast episode. But, you know, it's, I do feel like I've known her for so long as a friend. We hit it off right away, and when we talk, it's like it's time goes by so fast. She's just one of the best people that I've met in my time here in New York City. And I'm so thankful for the guidance that she's provided and the laughs. And listening back to this episode, I was LOLing myself. I was like, it gave me a good kick in the pants. And also, in my opinion, I think it is a great tool for actors. This episode specifically is a great tool for actors to go inside dialects of a Jewish person. We talk about the different accents used in Jewish culture, the Long Island Jewish accent, the Brooklyn Jewish accent, the Bronx Jewish accent. They're all different, and we actually talk about them. So if you're approaching a role who's Jewish, a character who's Jewish, this is actually a really good tool to listen to some of the things that we say, some of the words that are said in a very specific way. Really, if you're missing your grandma or your grandfather or your Aunt Babe, this is also a good episode to listen to because it's just two Jewish people kibitzing and eating chocolate and talking about life. So I really hope that you enjoy it. I have something exciting to hint to, but not formally announce. There's another project coming out that I will be involved with for your viewing as well as listening pleasure. So keep your eyes peeled for that. I actually hate that phrase, keep your eyes peeled. It like kind of sends shivers down my spine. I really just don't like that at all. But anyway, you know what I mean. That will be announced soon. It's going to be really fun. And it's if you love Broadway, then you're going to love this project. Also, not sure if you're seeing everything that's happening on Facebook, but Susie Mosher, you know, she hosts The Lineup with Susie Mosher every Tuesday night at Birdland. But she came out with, you know, she improvises songs, and she came out with this. She just filmed her newborn baby on the changing table and improvised a song about the changing table. And our community is blowing up with coming up with their own renditions of the changing table. So find us on Facebook. You can add me on Facebook, Michael Kushner. You can add Susie Mosher on Facebook, I'm sure. And come up with your own version. Alice Ripley has hers. Catherine Porter and Jim Valance has theirs. Dan Finnerty of the Dan Band has his. I have mine. And it's just hysterical. Everyone is going absolutely bonkers over it. So come up with yours. The changing table. It's really fun and super catchy. And that's all I got to report for this little intro. I don't want to keep you from the absolute joy that is the Tony-winning actor of City of Angels and the original Fantine on Broadway, Miss Randy Graff. I hope that you enjoy it. And as always, if you like what you hear, please retweet and post and share, rate, comment, subscribe, all that jazz. And reach out on social media at the Michael Kushner on Instagram or at Dear Multi Hyphen It on Instagram as well. And I'd love to hear what you have to say. If you have any guests you have in mind, bring them my way. Let me know, all that jazz. So enjoy Randy Graff and I. You're listening to Dear Multi Hyphen It, and I'm sending you all my love.
We don't putz around, do we?
I'm here with the multi-hyphenate Michael Kushner. So tell me what your hyphen is. See, I'm interviewing now.
Honestly, take me, like, just interview me so I don't have to think about it for a second.
But what are your hyphenates? Tell me what your hyphenates are.
I'm an actor, photographer, producer. That's schmoozer. No. Yeah. That's what I do. But you were just saying that you're not a multi-hyphenate. But I think that it doesn't matter if you are multi-hyphenate or not. I think that you support multi-hyphenates. I think that's just as important. You know?
Yes, and it just means being a more complete human being, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And not just focusing on one thing.
Yeah. You're a professor now.
Well, that's not my I don't have enough letters after my name to be a professor.
So what are you, a teacher?
I'm a teacher.
You're a teacher.
I'm a teacher. So I'm a teacher, actor, singer.
Tony winner.
Chocolate eater. Tony winner.
Yeah. We were just talking about your what I like talking about is the spirituality of, you know, of the show business and everything. And we were talking at dinner the other night about Lily Tomlin giving you your Tony and like how meaningful that was to you.
Well, it was a full circle moment because when she did her show Signs of the Universe, that was the first time I'd ever written a fan letter. And I just literally ran home from the theater to my Midtown apartment at the time and wrote a fan letter and went back and dropped it off at the stage door. And I was shocked and so hurt that I didn't get a response. I thought, oh, you just write a letter and they write right back. And I never got a response back. But cut to, I don't know, decades later, and she presented me with my Tony Award.
It's pretty amazing.
And I did have an opportunity. I met her backstage at a theater even years after that. I met her backstage. I think she came to see a class act, and yeah. I saw her backstage, and I said, you know, I told her the whole story. She's just such a nice person.
She seems it.
Yeah.
And I want her to be nice, too.
She is. She's very regular.
Yes. Oh, that's good. You mm-hmm. talked to her doctor then.
Yeah. No, she's like really open. Yeah. She was great. But that was a full circle moment for me. You never know.
You do never know.
What life is going to bring you.
And this is full circle. I mean, it's funny. I was explaining you to someone and just like, I was like, I feel like I've known you for years.
Right.
You know, one, we connected very easily, but I've been listening to you for years. I've been listening to you on the way to karate classes. You know what I mean? And just like the white cassette. It was white.
The cassette?
Yeah, it was
listening to the cassette. You didn't have the album? You didn't have the white album?
I have the album, but I didn't, we had a record player, but it was more to listen to like Alan Sherman and like, you know.
Hello, Mara.
Hello, Fada. Yeah, it was more to listen to that because then more of the contemporary stuff like the like Joseph with Laurie Beachman and, mm-hmm. and but this is, you know, this is, when was I in karate? I was in 97.
Okay.
I'm old. No, you're not. You're just one of my inspirations.
Thank you.
One of my biggest inspirations. And now we're friends.
I know. That's so sweet.
It's very cool to me. Ben Rimmelauer, I think, brought you up first in my life. And he was like, oh, you have to meet Randy. She'll love you. You'll love her. Which is like very funny to me. But
Ben Rimmelauer, shout out. How you doing?
Hey, baby. He just texted me today. So we're living together in Fire Island this summer.
Uh-oh.
So you're coming.
Out. Uh-oh. Okay.
You're going to make the trek and come.
Okay.
And
thank you.
And sit what by the pool.
What a nice invitation.
It's going to be very fun. Do you do pools?
Well, yes, I'm a Jew. I do pools. We don't do ocean. We do pools.
You want to know something crazy about that? The Dead Sea literally chewed me up and spit me out.
What do you mean?
I had an allergic reaction in the Dead Sea.
Because Jews do not do the ocean.
We do not
do
the ocean.
They just do pools. You know the movie? Do you know the movie A Walk on the Moon?
No. What is it?
It's a coming of age story, but they made a little musical out of it. I don't think it ever came in, but they did it at ACT in San Francisco. But it's the story. It's a coming of age story. Diane Lane is in it, and Viggo Mortensen.
Mm-hmm.
The guy from Green Card. I can never pronounce his last name.
Mortensen.
Viggo
Mortensen. I think it's Mortensen.
But it takes place. It was my life. It takes place one summer, the summer of 1969, of Woodstock and when the first man walked on the moon. Anna Paquin is in it. And it takes place in a bungalow colony in the Catskills. Now, bungalow colonies in the Catskills were how I was raised. They were like little shtetls. And you'd go there for the summer and you'd spend the entire summer in these dinky little bungalows/cottages. But you had the best time. And the husbands would come up on the weekends. And part of what the movie deals with is what some of the wives do during the week, which I was too young to even think about that. What do those wives do during the week? But A Walk on the Moon has a Woodstock theme in it, and you see there's actually a scene in A Walk on the Moon where the hippies are skinny dipping in the lake, and that happened at my bungalow colony. The summer of 1969, they would come along and they would come into our lake, and we would point at them going, the hippies are in the lake, the hippies are in the lake. And the thing about what's my point? See, this happens.
Does that
I had a point.
Jews do pools, not oceans.
Oh, they had all the in that movie. They had all the people in the bungalow colony swimming in the lake, and that was the only thing that wasn't authentic. There was no pool. There was a lake, and I said, this is the only place, and the writing was so great and so authentic, but that was the only place where it didn't ring true because Jews only swim in pools because they need that chlorine to kill all the bacteria.
Yeah.
Although the salt water is what really kills the bacteria.
I don't know if it was.
Did I just say bacteria?
Bacteria.
That's my Brooklyn coming out.
I know. Soda.
It's been a long day.
Soda.
Soda.
Idea.
I have no idea.
No
where
idea.
I got that soda.
You know, I was going to bring that up. Do you ever watch a show and you go, that's not the right accent?
Yes.
When it comes to Jewish.
Yes.
Representation.
They go too caricature.
I just saw Carolee do Dolly out in Philly on Sunday. And the two women behind me were talking about accents.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they were Hello Dolly Lovers. I think they've seen it a million times. And mm-hmm. so interesting because at intermission, they were like, she's got it right. She doesn't do the Jewish Yonker, the Jewish
the Upper West Side, New let's York. Go to Zabar's right. accent. Yeah.
She's doing the Irish New York mm-hmm. at the turn of the century.
That's right.
What is it? Dolly's in 1890
yeah.
something, right?
And she came over from Ireland.
Right. And so yeah. there is that lilt, but mm-hmm. there's it's also met with a totally different
New York, a little bit of New York.
Which yeah. I love. I always wonder, how did the New York accent happen?
I know how the Brooklyn I'm from Brooklyn originally. Yeah. And it's partly derived from the English accent where there aren't any R's. Oh. So like the English would say, pot, what pot are you talking about? Pot. What pot? And the, a Brooklyn person would go, what pot? What pot are you talking about? What do you, which pot? Which pot do you mean?
Yeah.
So it's derivative of the, of imperialist England.
And then the Bronx accent must come, the Bronx Jewish accent must come from Yiddish.
Yeah, I mean,
the musicality.
Assuming that everything came from the sound, from the Yiddish sounds and the rhythms and the intonations and the music of it. Yeah.
My great grandfather, I think, used to say "earl" instead of "oil."
Oh yeah, like
the earl,
and the turlet,
and the turlet,
just like Archie Bunker.
Yeah. Except that was he was Irish Catholic, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. It's I could talk about this for days.
Yeah, that's well. I grew up hearing those sounds a lot.
It's interesting. I did too. I actually used to talk with the New York with a Long Island Jewish accent.
So do a little Long Island Jewish for me.
Well, you know, I would talk like this, and it's kind of it's forward, and it slows down to really when you really yeah. want to say something.
Well,
it's a little masochistic. It's not my fault. It's not your fault. It's mine.
Right.
You know,
a little martyr.
It's high and then it's low.
And then there's the whole sect that Richard Greenberg calls Flatbush on the Thames. Flatbush on the Thames, which is when we did Babylon Line at Lincoln Center, I played Frida Cohen and she reminded me of some of my mother's friends who moved to Long Island. And the reason it's called Flatbush on the Thames, it's a thing. It's a real thing. When I was growing up, when you had enough money, when Dad made enough money, you moved out of Brooklyn or out of Queens, and you were able to, it was a status symbol, you were able to move to Long Island and buy a beautiful little house on Long Island. So all those women from Brooklyn and Queens who moved to Long Island with these thick Brooklyn accents who talk like this, mm-hmm. right? They felt that they needed to upgrade their speech so that they seemed more sophisticated and more educated. And that's when everything became more dentalized and there was a slight affectation to the speech. Michael, that red, it's just gorgeous.
Thanks.
It's gorgeous on you. But that was, it's called Flatbush on the Thames.
I know that accent. I know that accent because my grandma lives out in North Shore Towers, mm-hmm. which is three big buildings of just everyone over the age of 75. Mm-hmm. And in the underground, it's their restaurants and there's the VIP room or the diner and then there's the movie.
The VIP room.
The VIP room. The VIP.
And come, we're going to the VIP room.
Yes, yes. We're not going to the diner.
No.
We're going to the VIP room.
For the early bird.
For the early bird.
The oily bird.
But it's so funny because it's now in three buildings is every single demographic. So you hear all of, it's a beautiful, and everyone's talking about Maisel. Every single table in the VIP room.
And they like it. They find it authentic.
The second season, it was all the Catskills.
Yeah.
It was all Catskills.
That show put the Catskills on the map.
Yeah, it mm-hmm. did. Everyone's talking about it now because, I didn't have the Catskills, but I had Frenchwoods. I had Sleepaway Camp. I had the next thing. My dad went to Camp Wani, uh-huh. and my mom didn't go, but I did day camp up until I was 15, and then I went to Frenchwoods, which was a performing arts sleepaway camp.
Right, there was Stage Door Manor and there was Frenchwoods.
Yes. And people say that there is a thing, but there's not. We didn't have cell phone service. I don't know. We don't know anything about Stage Door.
But they're very different camps because Stage Door was all theater, but right. wasn't Frenchwoods a fine arts camp?
Yeah,
with theater in it.
100%. We could horseback ride if we wanted to.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah, it was more... It
was a camp.
It was a
camp. Real it staged where they slept in hotels. We stayed in bunks.
Oh, no, no, no. They had pretty awful housing at Stage Door.
Did they?
Yeah. Yeah, because I was there when my cousin Todd, I'm just dropping a little name here, my cousin Todd Graff wrote the movie Camp. So then,
did he?
Yeah, he wrote and directed the movie Camp.
Do you know how obsessed my generation is with that movie?
I do. It's become a cult film. I have a story about that.
Okay.
But anyway, it wasn't as diversified as French Woods is. It was just musical theater 24/7.
Correct.
So Todd wrote this as a Valentine to Stage Door Manor, uh-huh. and they filmed it at Stage Door Manor. And you know that Sondheim is in the movie.
Yes.
So here's my Sondheim story. So we had just closed a little night music at the Kennedy Center. So I worked with Sondheim. I got to know him a little bit over a couple of, you know, we were there for a month. So I showed up on the day, it was evening, that they were shooting the Sondheim scene, uh-huh. where he pulls up in his car and the license plate said Forum on it. Right. Anyway, I was talking to him, and he was nervous about having to do his scene because his acting coach, Mia Farrow, couldn't come with him. So he said, so we were talking, and he said, so, you know about this acting thing. Can you give me a note or something? I don't remember what he said exactly, but can you help me out a little bit? He had nothing to say. Yeah, nothing. He just had to get out of the car and look at the camp. And I said, yes, here's all I have to say. How do you feel about coming back to camp? And he said, oh, that's interesting. He just put his finger to his cheek and went, that's interesting. And I thought, isn't that stunning? Because when he talks to you about his music, he always comes from an acting point of view. And the point of view of the character.
Right.
And I was giving him the same kind of notes that he gives his the people who are singing his music.
Wow.
So now when you watch the movie, just look at the expression on his face when he gets out of the car and just, you know, looks at the lay of the land, because that's my acting coaching that right there.
I love that. I love that.
But that's, Sondheim.
I love that Sondheim and I have one thing in common.
Which is?
That is having you as an acting coach. Because let me tell you, you're not getting rid of me so fast.
Good. Keep coming.
Keep
coming.
I feel complete after I work with you. Are you kidding? Do you want to do more private coaching, like in group settings?
Well, you're in the class.
Right.
I have a professional class that meets once a month, and I do one-on-one coachings sometimes. But I love being in the classroom. I think you learn the most in a classroom.
Do you want to do more? You want to do more classes?
Yeah. Right now we just, you know, I want to be able to do it so that actors can afford it, because everybody's broke. Yeah. Nobody's got any money. And I feel that once we really have a nice community now. And I feel that everybody can afford to take class once a month, but I would love to get, this is a shameless plug.
Yeah.
Right now I'd love to get two sections going.
We have
one section going, but I love that. I teach at Manhattan School of Music in the musical theater program at Manhattan School of Music, but this is my professional class with people who are out there doing it. And Michael came to two of my classes, and it's been wonderful to have you there, and you did great work.
Thanks. I mean,
you're just so open and brave.
Thank you. Well, I mean, it's just, I try to do that in whatever I do, just because, like, you know, no one wants to watch anyone be tentative and second guess themselves, but you know, I also feel so safe with you. You're such, you know,
you're such
a brilliant person above all else.
Aww.
You know, you are.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I just, you know, I know that the word multi-hyphenate doesn't pertain to, like, what Randy Graff does, but what do you, I say it's an artist who has multiple proficiencies that cross-pollinate to help flourish professional capabilities.
Huh? Say that again?
I know, it's like so, I know. It's
give me
like,
that brand one more time.
I know, I was like, I think that was a shower thought. I think literally it was like, I came up with that just like.
Say it again slowly.
It's an artist who has multiple proficiencies.
Yes.
That cross-pollinate to help flourish professional capabilities.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You're a helper.
I'm a helper. I like to help. Zagunish telfin. Nothing will help.
Keep talking Yiddish to me. I love it. Get me all excited.
Let's see. Wait. Okay. Let's teach the children Yiddish. Okay. I have to think of it. What's my favorite phrase? It's de koppen dreit in der feisen der luft. What is that one? It's may your head grow in the ground and your feet in the air like an onion.
May your head grow
in the ground,
uh-huh,
and your feet in the air like an onion. To cop and dry it in their face.
What does that mean?
I think it's like a curse. It's like a
it's a evil eye.
I think it's more like a gay cock and off and yum.
Which is go shit in the ocean, yes. Which is what we all know.
Yes, that's like saying...
Wow, say that one again.
Jetem, you know? That's like saying jetem, it's kikalkanoff and yum. That's what I can compare it to. It's the thing that everyone knows.
Right, or ue la bibliothèque.
Oh, yeah.
Gay cock and off and yum.
It's well, divis divin kavis, do you want some coffee?
What? Tell me why you learned, you started, is it because of your grandma that you wanted to learn Yiddish?
The women in my family are the most important to me. Mm. And I love watching them, communicate. And my grandma communicates sometimes in Yiddish, and I'm just obsessed with that.
Yeah, it's a dying religion, because as those people who speak Yiddish get older and older and die off, I fear that the language will die off too, which is why it's so important that young people learn it.
Yeah.
To keep it alive.
I have a question. This is a good segue, because can you believe those 30 minutes already?
Now.
I know.
Look what happens when you're having a multi-hyphenate time.
I'm multi-hyphenate type of time. So talking about the kids, let's leave it with this. What, because you have done so much in this industry, so much amazing stuff that has affected me and so many others. What would you say to the younger artists out there that are starting or that are feeling stuck or that are feeling whichever kind of way?
Hold on to the joy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing, because the business can be hard and harsh and competitive. Just, you got into it because you're absolutely in love with the musical theater.
Yeah.
Hold on to the joy, because nobody can take that away from you. Those are my words of wisdom. Now, can you say it in Yiddish?
Oh, God. Could I? What is joy in Yiddish?
We should know that word.
I know. Well.
Hold on to the joy, darling.
Hold on to the joy, darling. And then you would put a K at the end of darling.
Yes, hold on to the joy, darling.
Yes, darling. Yeah. That's what it.
And ran. Flappish on the Thames.
Yes, I'm obsessed with it. That is so funny.
Richard Greenberg, he invented it.
Randy Graff, I'm obsessed with you. I love you so much.
I love
much.
You back.
You're the best. Thanks. We need to do another episode of this.
Okay, yeah. This went by so fast.
I know. I can't.
And we didn't have treats. I brought you treats.
Well, just like a good book.
Chocolate graham crackers from Starbucks. Dark chocolate, the best.
That's also.
We have to unwrap them in front of the mic and make all kinds of crunchy noises.
Jews don't do oceans, but we do dark chocolate.
Yes.
I'm on a very, 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 very strict diet.
Why?
So I'm
Tatala.
Because Fire Island's coming up. It's the new.
I'll take whatever you have just to make the crunchy song. But we're going to make the crunchy song.
I'm going to also. The crunchy. I'm going to look up what. Thanks, babe. Okay. Ooh, make them jealous.
This is actually not.
Milk chocolate and melty caramel.
This is not the dark chocolate graham cracker from Starbucks that is to die for. Your doorman, the doorman threw these at me downstairs and said, bring them up to the guys. Are you doing the podcast? I said, yes. He said, bring them up to the guys. And they're European. They're from France.
Me too.
Now I'm going to take a little bite. Listen.
Ooh, ooh. And that's Randy Graff eating. Caramel and chocolate.
That was a multi-hyphenate bite.
Shut up. Can you give me in your best Randy Graff voice selling? Just give me a little commercial for this. How do you even pronounce?
Michelle. I have my glasses on. Oh. It's all in French. I have no idea, but I'll tell you, it ain't sweet enough for me.
Yeah, you got hot chocolate the other night.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you love the sweet stuff.
I was raised on. In our pantry, yodels, ding-dongs, ring-dings, Twinkies. I was raised on chocolate.
Yodels. Yodels were in my household. Mm-hmm. Yodels and fish food, Ben and Jerry's.
Mm.
Fish food. That was the only thing. And I was.
I don't know. I haven't had fish. Oh, yes, I have.
And I was addicted to applesauce. No, apple juice. Oh. Apple juice.
Well, that's not such a bad thing to be addicted to.
But it's sweet.
That's true.
If it's Mott's, it's like sugar.
Oh, Mott's, forget it.
It's not.
It's not like they got the Whole Foods brand. Yeah.
No, you think in the 90s a Jewish family living in Tamarack, Florida would give me organic apple juice?
No.
Now they would.
Mm-mm.
Now my family would. But not okay. In the early 90s. It was like organic wasn't in.
No, that's true.
You know, it's like.
And now it's in and. It ain't going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere.
Neither are the prices.
No.
Thank you very much.
No. They're not. Organic's like $10 an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay. Look at it. This is the most Jewish podcast I've ever experienced.
Dear multi-hyphenate.
Dear multi-hyphenate.
The podcast for artists who... What is that?
You need your reading glasses.
Can't... No, I'm farsighted.
Oh.
Who can't... You know, this is great. It is so beautiful up here. This view is incredible.
I know. We're on the 40th floor.
Nice. Do you get to sleep here? I'm talking to, not to Michael,
you can
but
talk
to
Alan. It's
Alan,
okay.
Do you get to sleep here?
No. I have a place in Brooklyn.
Oh, where in Brooklyn?
Boreham Hill.
Where?
Boreham Hill.
I don't.
Next to the Barclays Center.
Oh, nice.
You just got so excited at the mention of Brooklyn.
It's my home. That's where I'm from. I'm from Canarsie.
Yeah, I'm near Park Slope.
Yeah. Oh, Brooklyn's great.
Yeah.
If I didn't live in Jersey, I would live in Brooklyn.
You're holding this water like it's I'm trying to think
it's vodka.
Yeah, like it's you're
because my pinky's up.
Yeah, your pinky's up, baby. Here's the ladies who lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see you play Joanne.
Oh my God. I was just at dinner before I came here.
Yeah.
With my friends, my friend Bob, and he said, have you ever played Joanne? And I said, I did when I was 19 years old in college, and I didn't know she was an alcoholic.
Oh.
I just thought, oh, she likes her cocktails. But I had no idea. I just was imitating Stretch off the album.
Oh, yeah.
I just did an imitation.
I think that's what I did with you when I had a Sing I Dreamed a Dream in a public place. I think I just...
Didn't we all do that? We studied the cast albums within an inch of their lives and just imitated.
Oh, yeah. You should see my roses turn.
Let's see it.
It's right now? It's a mixture...
Just do the Fermis.
Well,
Famished. Famished.
Famished. Do famished. The... I would say the biggest one that I could do is the... here she is, boys. Here she is. Well, here's Rose. And it's the Patty laugh. She does this laugh after... part.
Oh, so you do the Patti LuPone version. Oh,
well, I do some of the Bernadette. I do a lot of the Patti. I put in the Tyne.
So which of the Tyne did... She was my favorite.
When she curtain up and she looks up at the, and she gives a little laugh at the audience, and I always thought that was great. This is from watching the bootlegs.
Do you remember when she's singing Everything's Coming Up Roses, and she gets down on the floor and picks up imaginary roses?
I'm obsessed with her.
And she's just so desperate when she does it.
And I'm going to make you play Rose, too.
That's too hard.
I have a long list.
That's too hard. You got to give me something with easy singing, because it's too hard.
Start with the chocolate. Randy, I love you.
I love you back.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is produced by the Broadway Podcast Network. Make sure to find me online via Instagram at TheMichaelKushner or at The Dressing Room Project, or on Twitter at MKushnerPhoto. And visit me online via bpn.fm/dearmultihyphenate.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.